Shabbat Shalom and welcome to this online teaching on the Book of Jonah. I want to give you thanks for connecting today here with us and for connecting in the nations. And as you remember, we're going to continue with chapter 2 of the Book of Jonah. If you did not watch chapter 1, I suggest you press pause, you go back, you hear our chapter first teaching. And then after you watch that one, come and reconnect here back with us, okay? Amen? So we're going to begin with chapter 2. And I want to ask you, do you remember where we left Jonah in chapter 1? We left him in the belly of the great fish. So let's get ready and let's dive in. Amen? We're going to begin reading chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. And this prayer reminds me a lot of prayer of King David in Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. Let me read it for you. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Remember fleeing from the presence of the Lord in chapter 1? Verse 8, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, that's the same word, Sheol, behold, you are there. Let's go to verse number 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. Do you notice that Jonah keeps descending, same as when we were reading chapter 1, he keeps descending in his ordeal. And it continues and he reads, and the flood surrounded me, all your billows and your waves passed over me. Number 4, then I said, and this is Jonah speaking, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. And this temple that Jonah is talking about here is the temple that back then was in Jerusalem. And the temple was located in Mount Moriah, the same temple in which Abraham went to sacrifice his son Isaac. And we see that in the depths of the consequences of Jonah's rebellion and disobedience, we see that he's on a lower point looking up to where he is seeking for the presence of God. Remember the presence of God that he was fleeing from? In the first chapter, so you see that he cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. Let's go to verse 5. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. 6. I went down to the moorings in the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. It's like he's like in jail, like in a prison. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God. You see the lowest point, that's the pit. Verse number 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. And you see that his tone starts to change. His prayer goes up. To where? To the place of hope. And we see here that his prayers ascend like incense, just like ours. Now, do you remember the encounter of our Lord Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well? That you will find it in John chapter 4. When Jesus is correcting her and telling her that there will come a time that is approaching in which the worship would not occur in a mountain or in Jerusalem, but in spirit and truth. And this is very important that we take notice of this, because the temple is no longer in Jerusalem. Where is it now? Where is that temple at? And we have to look at the ministry of our Lord Jesus. Yeshua promises us the counselor, the helper, and through his sacrifice in the cross and the resurrection. And when we accept his lordship, we, you and me, we become the temple of Holy Spirit. And we have to understand that through this, we have access to the throne of grace, access to cry out to our Father God through our Messiah Yeshua. I think that these are the best news of the kingdom. Amen? Let's go to chapter 8. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. And I want us to pause there for a moment, because this verse is so profound in the way Jonah is praying here. So we're going to go deeply into it. Why do you think Jonah is praying like this? Some time ago, I was reading a small script from one of the leaders of the Protestant Reform. And this person said, the heart of man is a perpetual factory of idols. So let's meditate into this. And let's remember, what's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. So why was Jonah praying like this? This is very important, because we're seeing like an x-ray of his heart. Now, in other translation, it reads like this. That because of we accepting and we regarding these worthless idols, we are forsaking his covenant. Think of it this way. We are saying to the Lord, when we leave our hearts, our minds, our lives to receive these false idols, we're telling God not only that we don't want his mercy, but that we don't need it. And we are rejecting the blessings of his covenant. Now, the key to the life of a believer is to understand who is God in their lives. The prominent space and in our lives has to be for the Lord. There's no negotiation, there's no gray area, and we have to be very careful, because idolatry is very sneaky. I would say that idolatry and pride are like two sides of the same coin. I think they come together usually. Now, you might say to me, or we may say, well, I don't pray to statues, I don't carry around amulets, I don't worship the sun or the stars or this or that. But again, idolatry has a very sneaky way to come into our lives. Sometimes we cling to our heritage. Sometimes we let cultural pride comes before the purposes of the Lord. Sometimes it's even our political affiliations. It takes up all our time. Sometimes we think so highly of ourselves, our titles, of our achievements, and sometimes even our callings and ministries. Believe that? And we see here Jonah not only confessing the sin in his heart, but perhaps he was also speaking for his own nation. This is very important. Now, I want to encourage you in your time to study the scriptures and see how the Israelites not only had to face war and captivity and occupation by other nations, even harassment. And you see that many of the times it was a result, direct result, and a divine punishment because they are their idolatry and their wicked ways. We have to be very vigilant in our hearts on what we do, and what we say has to be aligned according to the word of God. Let's go to verse number 9. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. This is beautiful here, because we know that salvation is a gift given by grace to faith. And this is from the Lord and for the Lord to give to whoever he pleases. And it doesn't matter if we think that this is not for our enemies or people that we think is not unworthy of it, but this is for the Lord to give. And we see another thing here that I noticed when I was reading this prayer of Jonah. Did you notice that seems like it's a wave? It starts up, goes down, goes up again. Let me show you what I mean. He starts with crying out. So he starts low. It starts down, it's despair in his heart. And then it goes up. You heard my voice, Lord. But then it goes back again. I've been cast out of your sight. So that's desperation. And then it goes back up again. It's hope, right? And then it goes to identifying idolatry, right? is the confession that brings him up to the presence of the Lord. This is not a coincidence. And you know what? It reminds me of the waves of the sea. So I just want to leave that there for you to meditate on it. We have to be able to reflect our lives in Scripture. That's the way that we are confronted. That's the way that we are encouraged as well, that we are edified. Amen? Now let's go to the last verse. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Who spoke to the fish? The Lord did. And it's not this is amazing that he was vomited on dry land. This is a big deal. It was not in the middle of the sea, it wasn't the shore, it was dry land, safe and sound. Remember the ark in the times of the flood? It rested on a dry place as well. So this is the mercy of the Lord at display. It's important that we understand that Jonah's life was preserved inside of that fish. For him now, this moment is like a rebirth, like a resurrection, a revival. Just like with us, when we're dead in sin, we become alive again, new creatures in Jesus. So we have hope, just like Jonah. Now, let's remember something very important. We're dealing up to now with disobedience, with rebellion, but this might be only symptoms of the root cause that caused this act to happen. Remember what we talked about? Pride. We talked about idolatry. We have to look at the root cause so then we can change our ways and align ourselves with the divine purpose of the Lord in our lives. So let's move on to something that it happens to us believers, and sometimes we don't notice, but we want to negotiate with the Lord. We want to negotiate the mission, how the mission comes about, who the mission is for, and that is not our place. We have to be obedient, and being obedient is an act of submission. It has to be active. You have to do it, and it becomes a second nature. But if you rarely do it, or you do it if it's convenient to you, we're going to be at a loss all the time. If we move back to the environment of the story, we have to look that Jonah was being used to be a prophet to a strange nation, to the nation of pagans. And it's instrumental that while other prophets were used to bring rebuke to Israel, Jonah was being used to bring rebuke to a nation that was not part of the covenant, right? The covenant with Abraham. So now, when we see this, we remember that verse, to people that were not his people. Again, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And we have to understand this. Amen? With this, I want to let you know that we have concluded the second chapter in the book of Jonah. And I thank you so much for being here with us. Before you go, I want to pray for you. Father God, we give you thanks for this beautiful time in this Shabbat. And we want to ask you, Father God, that you come in our hearts, you study our hearts, and you remove any idols from our lives, Father, that you bring us to repentance, Father, that we may receive the mercy that we can only find in you. In this we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. If you like this message, I invite you to hit like, to comment, to leave us prayer requests. And I for sure hope to see you again for chapter 3. That is going to be next Saturday. So Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for connecting. And have a blessed day.